The title for today's study is Jesus, the Bright Morning Star. The people of Great Britain have recently remembered all those who fought in the recent wars, particularly the two great wars, who gave their lives to win our freedom. We soon will be remembering another great event, which took place some 2,000 years ago, which would bring hope to an evil world. The birth of our Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. During the summer of 2020, while the coronavirus pandemic was raging abroad, the government of the United Kingdom closed their borders to certain countries, prohibiting holidaymakers from returning back to the British Isles because of the increases in cases. This brought anger and anxiety to many and was a great inconvenience for many holidaymakers, causing great problems with a strong possibility of having to find alternate accommodation until the coronavirus cases of infection had reduced and restrictions had been lifted. As we celebrate Christmas, we are reminded that soon after Joseph and Mary arrived in Bethlehem, Mary realized Jesus was about to be born. This was already prophesied and recorded in Micah 5 verse 2. But you, Bethlehem, Ephrathah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from of old, from ancient times. For Mary, it was something so special to know she was bearing the Son of God in her womb, the one who Israel had been waiting for, their Messiah. Mary would, as all mothers do, be very excited about the pending birth. When they arrived in Bethlehem, they also had difficulty finding a place to sleep the night. Let us remind ourselves how it all happened. In Luke 1, 26-33 we read, in the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting that might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favour with God. You will receive and give birth to a son, and you are to call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." Then in Luke 2, verses 1-7, we read of Jesus' birth. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place when Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the house of Nazareth in Galilee to Judah, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in clothes and placed him in a manger, because there was no guest room available for them. I just wonder what Joseph and Mary were thinking when soon after their arrival in Bethlehem, having found a lowly bed in a stable, for Mary to realize Jesus was about to be born. There would be mixed emotions giving birth to the Son of God in a lowly stable. We know from what the angel Gabriel first told Mary, Mary would have been looking forward to this extraordinary event. When Mary was first told she would be carrying Jesus, having met up with her cousin Elizabeth, she burst into song, which commences in Luke 1, 46-49. My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Saviour, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generation will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. Mary knew she was carrying the Son of God. She would be comprehending what the immediate future held, because the whole nation of Israel were waiting for Emmanuel, the Messiah, to come into the world, and with everyone expecting him to become their king. As the angel Gabriel told her in Luke 2:31-33, you will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end. We may have times in our lives when circumstances block our plans, but we need to remember, if we are walking and following Jesus, whatever happens, however difficult it is, in God's divine plan, be assured it has happened for a good reason, although at times we may not understand why. How true the words of the Christmas carol. In lowly birth he came to earth, God's Christmas gift of love. Men turned away, nor bade him stay, the Saviour from above. In lowly birth he came to earth, the heir to heaven's throne. But now he's mine, this King divine, and I am his alone. Christ is God's Christmas gift to you. He died, was resurrected too. He came to give you life anew. Believe, that's all you need to do. Then you'll sing, Christ is God's Christmas gift to me. He died from death to set me free and save me for eternity. I'm glad Christ is God's Christmas gift to me. Jesus could not have chosen a lowlier place to be born, in a cattle shed. Now that Jesus had entered our world, God needed to tell the world he had been born. Mary and Joseph were not in their home territory to tell their neighbours he had been born. God chose these set of circumstances to tell everyone by visiting the lowly shepherds, by night, in order for God's glory to shine out. In Luke 2:8-16 we read, and there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all people. Today, in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger. Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to those on whom his favour rests. When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby, who was lying in a manger. God chose to send the angels to visit the shepherds at night. What a magnificent entry the angels made. The Bethlehem Hills are on a large plain below the town of Bethlehem and extend 7 miles north to the edge of Jerusalem. It must have been a glorious display in the sky. But God did not just speak to lonely shepherds, but he attracted the attention of wise men from the east who saw a particular star and were drawn to follow the star because it indicated the birth of a king, as recorded in Matthew 2:1-12. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it arose and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and the teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. "In Bethlehem in Judah," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time that the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me, so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on the way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened the treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. These three wise men were wise to follow that star. Yet God did not reveal his son just to a lowly shepherd. He revealed himself also to those wise, educated, and learned folk. Jesus wanted the whole world to know he had come. Later on, when Jesus began his ministry on earth, he said in John 6:38-40, "For I have come down from heaven not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I should lose none of all those he has given me, but raise them up at the last day. For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes him shall have eternal life, and I will raise them up at the last day." I want to finish this devotion by sharing a testimony of another man who followed a star. During the war in Iraq in February 1991, one testimony by Emma Paul Boghossian, writing in the book Modern Day Miracles by Alison C. Ritagno, told of her brother, who was serving as a doctor, the only doctor serving on the front line in Kuwait. This is a praises of her story. Emma was a newly born again Christian living in the war-torn zone in Baghdad. Instead of listening to the media, which was painting a very gloomy picture of the fighting, instead turned to the Lord to seek help. She, as an innocent new Christian, believed in all that had happened in the past about God, that he could bring her brother back to Baghdad safely. She continues, "He is the God of living miracles and is still very much in business." She started praying, fasting, and interceding for her brother continually. Soon the Lord reminded her of the miracles of the walls of Jericho falling down after the Israelites' people spent 7 days fasting. This would be an assumption by Emma, as it is not recorded in the scripture that they fasted. So Emma fasted and prayed for 7 days and waited for the Lord, in spite of the very discouraging news on the media. "The days passed slowly," Emma says. "I was very nervous about what would happen. I kept hanging on to that tiny string of hope and reminding myself of God's promises." Emma was asking God to answer her prayer, for she wanted it to be a testimony of God's deliverance to the family and friends. Before long, there was a knock on the door. From my bedroom, I could hear screaming downstairs, "He's here!" My brother had come back home. Emma decided to stay in her bedroom just a few more minutes to thank God, Emma says, no word could describe my feelings, nor express my gratitude to God. At first glance, she did not recognize her brother. He was weak, skinny, and half dead. We all decided to fast and pray another 7 days in thanking God for bringing my brother back from the valley of death. Her brother began to describe his story. His walk from Kuwait to Baghdad. God had protected him with countless miracles on the journey. Everyone around was either dead or severely injured, but he was not scratched. To quote, on his way back, there was a shining light that looked like a star guiding him through the Arabian desert. And soon multitudes of soldiers were following him and saying, we know your God will save you, so we decided to follow your footsteps. But always through all the horrendous horrors of war and death, around him her brother continued to say day and night that little shining star was there, giving them hope and leading them to safety. Emma concludes, this story has changed our lives forever. Fellow Christian, Jesus is coming again to earth. So be like those wise men. Have you found that bright and morning star? Are your eyes on the star that shines, which will bring you hope? It will guide you to eternal safety. We read in Revelation 22:15-17, look, I am coming soon. My reward is with me, and I will give to each person according to what they have done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Blessed are those who wash their robes, that they might have the right to the tree of life and may go through the gates into the city. Outside are the dogs, those who practice magic arts, the sexually immoral, the murderers, the idolaters, and everyone who loves and practices falsehood. I, Jesus, have sent my angels to give you this testimony for the churches. I am the root and offspring of David, and the bright morning star. The Spirit and the bride says, come, and let the one who hears say, come. Let the one who is thirsty come, and let the one who wishes to take of the free gift of water of life. For those soldiers to trust Emma's brother, they would have been watching him as he worked to save lives on the battlefront. By his testimony and life, they knew he would lead them home. Are we faithfully following Jesus, the Star of David? Are we a shining example of God's faithfulness? Emma's brother had been faithful witness during his work in Kuwait. He followed the star. He became one who showed by example a testimony of life-giving hope. In the book Pilgrim's Progress, A Dream by John Bunyan, we read how the main character Christian, having turned away from the errors and trappings of this world, met a man called Evangelist, who set him on the road for the celestial city. Christian was to follow the light, which would lead him to the holy city. In the book of Revelation 21:1-7, Jesus revealed to John in a vision the holy city, the New Jerusalem, which reads, then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, or mourning, or crying, or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. He who was seated on the throne said, I am making everything new. Then he said, write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. He said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. to the thirsty, I will give water without cost from the springs of the water of life. Those who are victorious will inherit all this, and I will be their God, and they will be my children. Verse 23 continues, the nations will walk by its light, and the kings of the earth will bring their splendor into it. Then in the next chapter, Revelation 22, verse 5, we read, there will be no more night. They will not need the light of the lamp or the light of the sun, for the Lord God will give them light, and they will reign forever and ever. Are you looking forward to joining those that know the light of life? Jesus, who said in John 8, verse 12, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Are you looking for the day when the light of that city, the New Jerusalem, will be yours to experience? In closing, let us listen to Harry Secombe as he sings the glorious uplifting song, The Holy City. The first line gives us an introduction. It says, last night I lay a-sleeping. There came a dream so fair I stood in old Jerusalem. In the first verse, the song describes the atmosphere in Jerusalem when the children heard the angels announcing the birth of Jesus. Then in verse 2, the words are so somber as they recall Jerusalem on the day Jesus died on the cross. But then the third verse is a glorious, triumphant experience of the New Jerusalem in all its splendor, when everyone are experiencing the atmosphere and the indescribable joy of living with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who will be the true light of the city in all its fullness, and he will reign as king over all the earth. Please note the words of the final verse which say, I saw the holy city besides the tideless sea. The lamp of God was on its streets, the gates were open wide, and all who would might enter, and no one was denied. What a future awaits the Christian. All those who love him, are you looking forward to being with him? Will you be there? Be blessed as you bathe in the words of this song.
Once again the scene was changed, new earth there seemed to be. I saw the holy city beside the tideless sea. The light of God was on its feet, the gates were open wide. Salam, my Lord.